We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
Hey everyone, what's going on? It's the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Hope you and yours are well as we get you ready for Kansas State Week. West Virginia trying to get back on the winning track against the Wildcats, the noon kick, which means 8:30 airtime on MSN with Gomard Mountaineer Tailgate Show. The Wildcats, they're 4-1, 4-0 in league play after a week one loss to Arkansas State. You talk about a rebound win on the road. Palace in the Prairie victory against third-ranked Oklahoma State, and they've used that as a springboard. They've overcome some adversity. Losing Skylar Thompson, they have been able to plug and play with a freshman quarterback, a freshman running back. So we'll discuss all of that with Stan Weber coming up a little bit later on in the program. He, of course, is the analyst alongside Wyatt Thompson on the Kansas State Sports Network from our Learfield IMG College family. So looking forward to chatting with Stan as usual. Always to some good stuff. Chris Kleiman continues to keep the wheel turning. It's almost as if, and we'll discuss this on Saturday, really eager to hear what Jed and Wolf have to say about this, because Neil Brown has alluded to a lot of things here. You talk about putting the ego aside, Chris Kleiman, and not trying to put his fingerprints on a program or a situation where you inherit, I think, a much different scenario than typical first-year coaches do. Kleiman, of course, in his second year, but he hasn't tried to reinvent the wheel. He's just tried to keep the thing turning and just be a spoke in it, because things were really, and as you would expect under a guy like Bill Snyder, left in a really good spot. That core foundation, those principles, his exit, I think, was far different than maybe when you see a traditional coaching transitions. And that takes a lot of humility, something that Neil mentioned in his Monday teleconference with reporters. That's what the situation is for Kleiman, and he has adapted, I think, about as good as any other head coach could in that situation, because I think the initial reaction is to go ahead and, again, put your fingerprints all over the program. But Kleiman hasn't necessarily done that. They are strong, the Wildcats are, in all of the areas that a typical K-State team has always been strong in. Very disciplined on special teams. Their defensive front is formidable, and they don't make a ton of mistakes, as if Snyder really never left. So we'll talk to Stan Weber about all of that and more. Plus, I'm looking forward to a conversation which is coming your way in just a moment here. Chase Barrett has become the anchor of the WVU offensive line. As a matter of fact, the term that I used in a chat with Matt Moore earlier this week was, is Chase Barrett the glue guy? Here's what Moore had to say about that.
No doubt. He is, and he's really worked really hard. His total outlook and attitude's changed since last season, and he's worked really hard in the offseason to become a better center, to understand. You know, we've spent hours and hours on Zoom meetings, having individual meetings, looking at film, and he was really just eating up with it, and he does a great job of communicating, and he's a tough guy. You know, he's a tough guy. He's a former wrestler in high school. He does a good job in the weight room for Mike. He really works hard with this group to push everybody. Yeah, I'd say you're exactly right. Right now, he is our glue guy, and the past couple games, he set the standard for how hard we play.
So Chase Barrett will join me, and he'll talk about some unique training techniques that he was able to refine and hone his skills. You can really hear the leadership in his voice as well. So to be a glue guy, you also have to be kind of a natural leader, something that, as Moore just mentioned, maybe he wasn't this time last year, but there's a different tone and tenor and an outlook for Chase Barrett, which we will highlight when we return. Stand by. It's the Mountaineer Insider Podcast here on MSN, the Mountaineers Sports Network.
Today tastes like game day at home, like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining and an ice-cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today tastes like watching football is supposed to, and it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
Chase, I was just talking to Matt Moore a short time ago, and he mentioned that you're kind of the glue guy of this offensive line. Do you view yourself that way, and do you feel a responsibility to be that glue guy?
I would say that I definitely feel like I play a major role. One of the things I take the most pride in would be carrying guys along with me. Picking people up if they're down or they make a bad play, carrying them along. And I feel like that's definitely something you need to have a decent O-line, and I'm glad to be that guy. I love the responsibility that has been placed on me. I'm definitely willing to take the role, and I love taking the role. But I said I'd definitely play a big part in that, to be honest with you.
What's the reason for that? And basically, I don't think you were there this time last year. In other words, you've grown substantially to be able to become that guy and do everything that you just explained. So take me through, I guess, that process from where you were a year ago to now to be well-equipped to do what you do.
I would say, it's definitely a characteristic that I've always tried to work on in my life. It started mainly in high school, but I feel like once I came to college, it definitely changed a little bit. I learned my role and my place, and I felt it was one of those things that just some random new guy was, like, you had to earn your stripes to get that role, and I feel like playing the center position and getting a lot more comfortable with it has definitely led me to that role. We joke around about it all the time, saying that I'm the quarterback of the offensive line, which I mean nothing but factual. And to be a good center, you definitely need to have the characteristics that a quarterback would carry, and being able to lead the offense and doing those certain things. I feel like just with each game, I've been getting more and more comfortable at that position and being able to carry guys along with me. We always say that a leader is someone that can do their job and get other people to do the job along with them. And I feel like that's definitely something that I've been able to acquire this year.
Sounds like you use the term quarterback. I might go ahead and use the term coach. Sounds like you have a little bit of coach in you. Do you have a little bit of coach in you?
I don't know about all that. I'd say that the only reason I would have some coach in me is because of my dad growing up was my middle school coach, and that was something that he always loved to do. And he even stuck around for a few years after I was out of middle school and coached other teams. And always helped out, and he's a huge football fanatic. And he's definitely instilled a lot of my characteristics in me, telling me, hey, you need to do this, you need to be this kind of guy, and you need to work on certain things. And that's definitely things that I take to heart and that have helped me be the person that I am, you know, on the football field and off the football field. And I'd say the reason I would sound like a coach is just because being around him so often, maybe it's rubbed off on me a little bit.
Tell me about his background a little bit and how he, I guess, shaped you and what role he's played in your football life.
So it started with my grandpa. My mom's dad played college football. Then he went on and played college football. My brother went on and played college football. So I'm kind of a third-generation guy when it comes to that. And I've definitely had a lot of experience brought down to me, telling me what to do and telling me that, I mean, a hard work doesn't come easy, and that's the only way you're going to get things out of life, and especially in football. And those are just things that, I mean, he instilled in me from a young age. And I remember we used to have to go, and whenever we'd have a bad game or needed to get some extra workout in, I'd sit there and watch my brother push the car around, and then I'd take a few, or push the car around the parking lot, and I'd take a couple reps at it. But
The car. What kind of car? So wait a second. I was first going to ask you, before we get to that, where did your grandfather and your brother play?
Missouri State, and then my dad was a tight end and linebacker at Southeast Missouri State, and then my brother won a few national championships at Northwest Missouri State at the D2 level.
Okay. So now back to the car thing here. So what's the story behind that, and what was the type of the make and model, the year of the car that you were pushing around?
Oh, it was a mid 2000s. What was it? A Ford Fusion. I mean, it's not the biggest car in the world, but definitely something that'll get your legs pumping a little bit. I think that's mainly what it was for. Is we didn't really have a solid weight room when we were younger, and that was something that we would just do to get some leg strength. We'd do it after practice, and people would be looking at us like, man, that dude's a psycho. What are they doing? And, I mean, honestly, we're at that level now, and we've been playing in big games, so I guess that little extra push literally gave us that step to be able to do what we do.
So that was just a family thing, or was that you were doing in high school?
No, that was a family thing. I can tell you right now, I don't think I've ever pushed a car with someone else, and that wasn't for a workout purpose.
Well, if I ever run out of gas, you're my first phone call, by the way. Chase Barrett is our guest. So was this like an operational car, or was this a car that you drove, or was this like an old, abandoned, beat-up car that was used specifically for this purpose, a sled on wheels, if you will?
Nope, this was my dad's everyday work car that his dad got around every single day in it. It was just something that was there that we would just push around.
Well, good stuff. It worked. I mean, I assume if you have kids and they wind up playing football, looks like you've got a training technique and a method. And I don't know if you've had any conversations with Mike Joseph about this, but it sounds like something that would be right up his alley.
Oh, yeah, I think that Mike would love that. I've actually seen videos in the past. I think they used to do that every now and then. They'd get a truck and have the O-line push it. And I think that's something that he might need to bring back for the future, to be honest with you, because it works.
It sure does. Chase, whatever you're doing is working right now. Continued success, whether that's pushing a car, whatever you got to do, man. We really appreciate the progress that you've made and the offensive line has made here week by week as we get into the second half of the season. All the best to you and the rest of the fellas, and we'll catch up with you down the road. All right, good stuff from Chase Barron. Stand by. We'll turn our attention to the Wildcats of KSU. Stan Weber is standing by, and he'll join me coming up next.
Today tastes like game day at home, like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining and an ice cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today tastes like watching football is supposed to, and it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together, taste better.
Well, Stan, it's always good to talk to you again. Appreciate you carving out some time in what's a busy week. We look forward to hosting you, Wyatt, and the rest of the Wildcat Radio Network crew for what should be a big ball game, an important game. K-State is obviously off to the terrific start. So let's start from, I guess, week one to week two. What a turnaround that is. You have the tough one against Arkansas State. You lose by four. And then the incredible 21-point comeback from behind victory at Oklahoma. We spoke before when you beat Oklahoma the last time around, how significant that was in Kansas State football history. I can only imagine where this one is going to rank for years to come in Wildcat lore.
You know, we'll always say for many, many years, hey, how about those 2 years in a row where K-State beat Oklahoma? If you heard about K-State football history, they say this old quarterback, Lynn Dickey, beat Oklahoma 59-21 in 1969, and then they went to Norman and proved it in 1970. Can you believe it? Well, wow, 50 years later, we're talking about 19-20, and Chris Kleiman's doing the same thing. He's undefeated against Oklahoma. Every win against Oklahoma is a big deal, and they were ranked number three in the country, so it's the highest-ranked team K-State's ever beaten on the road. So that's what we'll say, right, historically. Yeah. But this year, you lose to Arkansas State, many of the players unavailable to play because of COVID, and you sit out a week. And now you get ready. No more non-conference games, and you get Oklahoma on the road. This is not a good sequencing setup for K-State football. So if you think about it, I don't think Chris Kleiman would ever fold and, you know, bad stuff happen. But just think about the difference of losing to Oklahoma and being 0-2. And K-State's not used to that, having a home loss. And here you're going, and now you got all these issues of COVID going on and everything else. It turned everything around and allowed everybody to take a deep breath. By winning that game, it's not only historically significant, it just set the season back on schedule and said, let's start all over, let's get to work. And that's all K-State needs to do to be successful, is get to work. This is a team that's built on, we're going to play 60 minutes, we don't care what the score is, we're going to play the whole thing, and we believe we're going to find a way to win.
So that's interesting, because it sounds like it's Bill Snyder's still as the head coach of the Wildcats. And I listened to something that our guy, Neil Brown, mentioned on his Big 12 teleconference on Monday. And he really praised Kleiman in that his situation taking over his football program is a little bit different than perhaps what Neil walked into in his situation where, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Chris didn't necessarily have to reinvent the wheel. He didn't have to put his fingerprints all over the program. Coach Snyder obviously left it in a pretty decent spot. And Neil mentioned that it takes some humility to be able to just keep the chains moving, if you will. And that's not to at all say that he hasn't done anything or anything along those lines, or something was handed on a silver platter. He's had to overcome all sorts of adversity. I mean, the quarterback position here this year, in and of itself, adverse. So we could point to that and get to that a little bit later on. But I guess the point perhaps still stands that Kleiman's really done a good job, and he's bigger than all of it in the standpoint that he could just say, you know what, let's just keep this thing moving right now and try to continue on what Snyder's done.
Well, I think that you bring up a great point, and I love clarifying and making some distinctions for people, because most people have said, wow, this is like the same K-State team that was played under Bill Snyder version one and version two. And that's a compliment. I mean, who wouldn't want to hear correct that you look like Coach Snyder's K-State football team? But it is a little bit of an idea that we got to be careful about, because Chris Kleiman was a dominant national championship level coach at North Dakota State.
No doubt.
So if he had never met a Bill Snyder player or heard about Bill Snyder, he would be just fine on his own. Now, Gene Taylor, the athletic director at K-State, had been at K-State a little while, but had been at North Dakota State before, and you got to really credit him that what he has done is brought in Chris Kleiman, a great candidate to be the head coach at Kansas State, and know that he's a humble guy who believes in himself and wants to do it his way, all the way, but it happens to be so consistent with Bill Snyder. So there's my distinction.
Okay.
This is not Chris Kleiman emulating or just accepting the Bill Snyder way of coaching. This is the Chris Kleiman way of coaching, and it happens to be so closely aligned with what Bill Snyder did that it works very well for K-State. Coach Snyder was famous for 16 goals for success, and one of the things he simply said outside those goals is, we just want to get a little bit better every day. That's all. He really said that all the time, and he lived it. I mean, I was around him forever. My son played for him. My son coached under him. And my current son that's playing played under Bill Snyder as well. I mean, I know this. Get a little bit better every day. Well, win the dang day is what Chris Kleiman said. Let's just put good days after good days. Let's stack them together. Hey, it's the same exact thing. So all that he had to do that probably is a little bit of the Bill Snyderism is that he realized that special teams were such an elite part of K-State football. There is an attitude about it with the players, and he just allowed that to continue on. And so he didn't have to play great special teams at North Dakota State. They did, but they didn't have to dominate because they were the better team. He understands these games are close in the Big 12, and he's allowed that attitude, that pride in K-State special teams to live on. So that's the one thing he probably allowed to roll. But everything else, Chris Kleiman is just himself, and I'm just shaking my head going, we have the next Bill Snyder. I mean, this guy coaches so much like Bill Snyder, it's unbelievable. But I want everyone to understand, he's doing it his way. He could be at any school, and it would be much the same of what he wants to do.
Yeah, that's a great distinction, and I appreciate you making that distinction. And as I alluded to here a moment ago, it hasn't just been put the thing on autopilot and not screw it up. There's been some bumps along the way, and you've been able to overcome them, particularly at the quarterback position when you lose a guy like Skylar Thompson, and you then have to give the keys to a freshman quarterback. Usually that's not the elixir for success or a 4-0 start in league play. So underscore what Thompson is doing behind the scenes to help out a guy like Will Howard, a freshman signal caller that has been able to manage things here and keep the train on the tracks and then some.
Yeah, I think we need also Neil Brown's a very smart guy, and I know some people who know him very well, and they told me about him when he was at Troy. So it's not like I'm an expert on him, but I thought he's very smart, and he brought up something that no one else talks about, and that's Courtney Messingham's the K-State offensive coordinator. You don't ever hear his name. The guy's really quietly like just a professor, not like your football guy in your face. He's a great golfer, for instance. He's just so calm. He kills it on the golf course. And he coaches the offense like he's on the golf course, just calmly taking the next shot, the next shot. I thought it was very interesting that Neil Brown brought him up without being asked. That's really the inside that you need to understand, that K-State's offensive coordinator is very, very good. Colin Klein, West Virginia fans know all about how good he was as a player, is the quarterback coach. Those guys are doing a great job of coaching up the players. And so they really were getting Will Howard and others ready, even though Skylar Thompson was the rock. He had started 30 games. He had started part of his freshman year, his sophomore year, all of his junior year, and now is rolling on his senior year. It's a big step backward for K-State to not have his calmness, his understanding of the offense, and his accuracy. Man, he could throw the ball accurately and was athletic in the running game. So you're right. It's K-State's won two games and really came back in the fourth quarter against Texas Tech with Will Howard playing the whole second half. So you could argue Will Howard's been in three wins for K-State. So this is pretty amazing that the team's done this. Credit to Will Howard, you know, a kid from the Pennsylvania area that loves Carson Wentz and all of that. It's amazing that he stepped in and done the great job he has. He deserves a lot of credit. But Courtney Messingham, Colin Klein, and now Skylar Thompson's back from his surgery. They're all jumping in and trying to help him. But the thing is that Chris Kleiman does more unusually than any coach I've ever seen in my life is he plays more players. K-State relies on about 20 players to play down after down. You're going to see guys running in. They don't care if it's the biggest play of the game. And you might look and go, seven starters are not on the field. K-State does not have seven starters. They don't care. They all play like starters. Well, this is their strategy, okay? This isn't COVID-related, but doesn't it work well for COVID? I mean, sure. To have guys ready? Well, K-State does that. They're obviously not going to rotate quarterbacks, but if that makes sense, it so permeates the whole team. They substitute offensive linemen in. They run 20 defensive players out there. They play three running backs and seven receivers. This is K-State football under Chris Kleiman. So the point is, Will Howard is around a mindset that you better be ready. Even though he didn't play early, they taught the whole system is be ready. And I think that's really helped Will Howard out. But the kid deserves a ton of credit. True freshman? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He's only the fourth true freshman to start a game for K-State, period. And here he is winning games. He's basically 3-0. And it's pretty amazing.
Well, Deuce Vaughn, speaking of freshmen, give me the lowdown on him and what his ceiling is or maybe is not. It seems like it's awfully high, and this is going to be a guy that's going to be around for a while, unfortunately so, for West Virginia fans. Give us the scoop there, if you would, Stan.
Yeah, Deuce Vaughn is a very exciting football player. In Pennsylvania, you know, the Eagles know a little bit about Darren Sproles, you know, that he's the superstar for K-State, right? The all-time leading rusher. I'm not going to put him in that category yet, but he's smaller, but not thin, moves side to side very well. But the thing that he can do from a talent standpoint is he can run up the middle or outside. He can make little juke moves. He's hard to hit, but his pass catching capabilities are NFL-like. He's NFL ready. As a pass catcher, He's probably the best pass catcher K-State has. It's just smooth. When he runs a route, he just snags the ball like he's an NFL wide receiver. But speaking of the NFL, it's very important that you look at his parents. And his dad, Chris, is a longtime assistant football coach. And he coached for Texas for a while. But now he's a Dallas Cowboys scout. He lives in the Austin area. But he's taught Deuce Vaughn about football. When we have post-game interviews with Deuce Vaughn, it's like we're talking to a high-level college or NFL assistant. The way he talks about the game, it is not freshman-like. It's not even fifth-year senior-like. It's way past that, if that makes sense. So His calmness within the game, he really understands that you're going to – what outside leverage means. You know, like he runs a little route out of the backfield. He's the most dangerous player on K-State's team. West Virginia fans are all going to be pointing, you know, there's 22. But he understands what the options are. You're going to play him with a safety. You're going to play him with a linebacker. You're going to drop a defensive end. You're going to play man-to-man. He totally doesn't even blink an eye. He knows, oh, I got my outside leverage. That means I'm going to run my route slightly differently. So his ability to intake information from Courtney Messingham. Remember, Courtney Messingham, the professor, has an intense calculus-like playbook if the players can handle it. And Deuce Vaughn can handle it. Now, on the other side of the coin, he's humble. And how great is it that you meet any pro or college athlete that is a superstar, and, I mean, everyone's patting him on the back. I don't know if he walks to class. I'm sure they carry him on his shoulders. I mean, you're a freshman killing it at K-State where football matters, you know?
Sure.
And he doesn't blink an eye. He's been around the pros. You know, we got Patrick Mahomes in our town. Everything's about Patrick Mahomes. I live in Kansas City.
Right.
You can understand. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You're from an NFL city. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Patrick Mahomes grew up with his dad as a Major League Baseball player. Alex Rodriguez is just his buddy to play catch with, right?
That's unbelievable.
In the locker room. When you grow up around it and you just think these are normal people, it does change your stability and you don't get caught up in all that stuff that's distracting. That's what Deuce Vaughn is. He can do it all athletically as well as anybody in the country, but what really makes him special is he's humble. And he doesn't think it's that big a deal, and it's not too big to do, and he's not that big a deal. So he's a real threat because he's just a flat-out grown-up playing football.
Well, bad news there for West Virginia fans. Stan Weber, he's going to be around for a while, so we're going to get our first glimpse at him on Saturday. And also, just as impressive that they're throwing a freshman out there to media, that you're able to talk to him and do interviews with him. Typically, that's not the case in the college football setting. Stan Weber is our guest color analyst on the Wildcats Radio Network, our brethren at Learfield IMG College. On the defensive side of the ball, and I don't know if this is where the game is won and lost, and this is the key matchup, but how West Virginia's tackles maybe handle the ends that you have. I mean, whether it's Bronson Massey, whether it's Khalid Duke, Wyatt Hubert, pretty talented on the edge there. Why are they so successful, especially getting that penetration and into the backfield?
Well, the outside guys really just are talented guys. You know, first team all-conference player in Wyatt Hubert. So he just fits the mold, you know, like you talk about the Steels brothers or something. They look the part and they play the part down after down. So that starts there. Khalid Duke is a guy that has really quick twitch muscles and is dangerous. Now, he's not as refined and he's young, but he brings those plays. And Bronson Massey's kind of at the other end of the chart where he kind of has some of that explosiveness, but he's a veteran, so he understands veteran moves. With that, they're all very solid. But what's really put the glue together is the two defensive tackles. K-State had good defensive tackles last year that played down after down, fought like crazy, didn't allow teams to run up the middle, right? Can't let teams just take it right down the middle or you're not going to win many games. They left. So you have question marks of how that's going to turn out. Well, unbelievably, the replacements have been better, stepped in and been just more solid. So K-State has three different guys there, but really led by Drew Wiley and Eli Huggins. Those guys not only can play against the run, that they rush the passer pretty well. Make a long story short, K-State doesn't have to blitz. You know, that's how you win modern football games. Is you can blitz once in a while, but you blitz in the modern game and you're going to get hurt by the man-to-man coverage. So the best way is have seven players drop. Doesn't matter if you're playing man under or zone, you know, all those things. If you can get pressure on the quarterback with four guys, your chances of stopping a team go way up. And right now, K-State's really fitting into that style well. If they can slow down the run enough, then they're going to bring the heat with four guys, and it's hard to find openings when there's seven defenders who know what they're doing back there.
Stan, one thing I want to go back to that you mentioned, how many players the K-State plays, how they're constantly subbing in. How did you do against the tempo of Texas Tech? Obviously, you win in Lubbock, but I was just curious as to how logistically that all worked out.
Well, you know,
I'm sorry, that was a home game against Texas Tech. Semantics there.
I don't have a hockey team here in Kansas City, but I still enjoy hockey. It's a little dangerous when I talk about it, but I'm going to say your fans know a little bit about line changes, okay?
Okay.
So if you run a high-tempo offense against K-State, obviously they're going to have to stay out on the field and not sub for a few plays. But if you sub one guy, then the defense gets a sub. Against Texas Tech, there were times, literally, where seven guys ran on the field. Seven players the field and said, I'm going to get in. Now, when I talk about 20 guys playing, it's not because they get tired. So let's make that distinction. Normally a guy plays the whole drive. And then the next guys play the next drive. So it's not every other play that they need to sub at all. But since you mentioned it, it is funny. Because I'm telling you, Texas Tech would change one receiver and the official would run up there at the line and stop everything for a second. And all of a sudden you look over, here's seven K-State players running onto the field.
Count them, yeah.
Waiting for them to get lined up. So that K-State will substitute with bunches if they get sped up like that. But they don't get worn out because they don't play every down. I mean, I play this series, you play the next series. K-State's linebackers deserve a lot of credit. I'll mention them for fans. Justin Hughes and Elijah Sullivan are actually high school teammates who are in their sixth year. Not many kids are around for their sixth year. They both are six-year guys playing together, but they'll rotate out, and Daniel Green and Cody Fletcher will come in, and I tell you what, if you're not paying attention, you won't even notice it. I mean, the defense doesn't look any different. It just kind of works, and each guy takes their turn. So K-State's not about dominant defensive players. I can't go, oh, watch out for this guy. I can't even tell you. I wouldn't be very good at predicting which 11 guys are going to be in there if K-State made a big play. It's just random. They all are solid, and none of them are superstars, and they kind of rely on each other. And Joe Klanderman's the new defensive coordinator at K-State. It was a big change for them to have a new defensive coordinator. But Klanderman stepped up, and he's been a Klieman disciple all the way back to North Dakota State. So he's really stepped up, and you can't take it for granted when you change a coordinator that's going to work, but it really has.
Having said all of this, Stan, I mean, the all-time series is tied 5-5. West Virginia is able to go into Manhattan last year and grab a victory, one of, if not their biggest victories of the year in a 5-7 season. Is this a tough matchup here for Kansas State? If so, why so? Does coming into Morgantown and grabbing one not seem as a given here? And I guess what keeps Chris Klieman up at night about the Mountaineers?
You know, there are certain matchups that just seem to be different. You know, Iowa State's played high-level football, yet they've only won one of the last 10 times against K-State. And K-State just rocked their world last year, beat them from start to finish, right? And you go, how does that happen? And West Virginia, with four straight wins, is now starting to get into that rhythm where, you know, it seems like the matchup is hard for K-State. I think it probably starts just with the quality and the physicality of the defense for the Mountaineers. All of the last 5 years, you know, you can say whatever you want, like this team's great or this team's poor. Fans get to do that, right? I mean, I'm not going to stand here for the West Virginia fans and say what they like and don't like, but from the other side, when you're getting ready to play them, it was a physical defense every year. And that physicality is rare. K-State is a team that plays with physicality. And I think that's an advantage. They wear you down. I mentioned earlier, they want to play 60 minutes. And they may not you know, shock you early in the ball game. But K-State will play with the same ferocity, whatever it is, 1 to 10, whatever you want to mark it, 2, 8, 10, wherever. It doesn't matter. They'll be playing that same way at the last play of the game. That's K-State football, and it really is called, in modern football, physical, you know. Where West Virginia, you know, it's the rock smashing the scissors, and this is the rock in the rock. Does that make sense? I mean, yeah. The games have been toss-ups, because I think West Virginia's physicality is kind of like K-State. So you don't get that advantage. When you're playing K-State football, you don't wear down the Mountaineers. They're right there pounding on each other. And even though West Virginia's won the last four after K-State won the four before that, they all seem to be pretty even in close games. And they were pounding on each other. So I just think, you know, I'm not positive about it, but I think that's the difference. At K-State usually is a little more physical and a little more set in wearing you down. And it doesn't seem to happen against the Mountaineers. They don't mind battling each other at the line of scrimmage the way K-State does.
Yeah, and that's what makes Saturday all the more intriguing. Really looking forward to it, Stan. Hey, thanks for the insight. It was terrific as usual. Safe travels to the University City. We look forward to hosting you. And thanks so much for giving us a great context and perspective on some special things that are happening out in Manhattan for the 16th ranked Wildcats. So all my best to you and Wyatt, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Thanks so much. I'm glad you're going to be there with some fans. Every fan that gets to go changes the atmosphere. That fake noise stuff is no good. Real fans, 10%, 20% make all the difference in the world. And I'm so happy that they're getting a chance to go. And, oh, by the way, thank you for doing it in time so my wife can actually go to the game, because she has a couple of sons that she wants to watch. And
that's great.
I was telling her, you know, I'm not sure if you're going to get to go to all the games, so let's check off another one. She's never been to a game at West Virginia, so I'm looking forward to having to see how much fun there is a Mountaineer game.
Oh, yeah. I just wish we could have 60,000 of our best friends with us, but I'm with you. We had our first grouping of fans last home game, and you're 100% right. Boy, do they. We've never appreciated them more than we have during this day and age. That's Stan Weber from the Kansas State Radio Network. Hey, stand by. We'll have our closing thoughts when we continue. It's the Mountaineer Insider Podcast here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
Today tastes like game day at home, like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining and an ice cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today tastes like watching football is supposed to, and it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola, together tastes better.
Always appreciate Stan Weber's insights and expertise, so we're looking forward to seeing how it all shakes out on Saturday at noon, 8:30, the airtime on MSN. Special thanks to Chase Barron. Special thanks to Mike Morabito, our producer, back in MSN Control. We'll talk to you next week right here, same time, same channel, whatever podcast that you like to listen to us on. We do appreciate it. Be sure to give us 5 stars, rate us, share, retweet, whatever you can do as we try to grow our digital brand, the Mountaineer Sports Network and WVU Sports. So until then, hail West Virginia. Let's go Mountaineers. This is MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUsports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.